I'm Mike Williams. Welcome to One Planet from the BBC. And this week, it actually is from the BBC, from the headquarters of the World Service, Bush House. The One Planet team is based here. The programme, I'll tell you what we have for you today. In a moment, I'll be talking to a controversial man, one of the first members of Greenpeace and later a director of the organisation. But he broke ranks with them several years ago, and he now holds views which appall some environmentalists. Just heading into the studio where I hope I'll be able to speak to Patrick Moore on the line from Canada. He runs a business consultancy on sustainability, advising organisations and companies involved in forestry, biotechnology, plastics, mining and more. It's very different from his old job. All right. Mr Moore, welcome to One Planet. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Thanks, Mike.
I'm very glad you spared us a little bit of time. There's quite a lot to get through, but I'd like to start with a bit of history, if I may. You were the director of Greenpeace for many, many years. You were on the very, very first direct action that Greenpeace took, I believe. And yet you've turned your back on that approach. Why?
Well, not really. I still believe there needs to be watchdog groups and people who are willing to get out on the front lines on critical issues. But for me personally, I had been in confrontation politics for 15 years, ever since I left university, and I realized that I wanted to get on the solution side of things, to work with people rather than just work against them, to work on consensus, to try to find out what we should be doing. After all, I'd been spending all these years telling people what they should stop doing, but we need to survive. We need food, energy and materials, and we need to work on sustainable solutions in order to get those things, in order to keep alive, while at the same time reducing our negative impacts on the environment. So it was more a change of modus operandi rather than a choice of policies or positions on issues, except for the issue of nuclear energy, which is the one issue that we had then, and I was against nuclear energy in those days in the early years of the environmental movement. I think we were wrong in that position. But other than that, I have stayed true to all the positions we had then: stop the bomb, save the whales, stop toxic wastes, etc.
I'll come to the question of nuclear energy in just a moment. But when you were talking about cooperating with people, building a consensus, you found yourself in many ways talking to people who the environmental movement won't talk to, haven't you?
Yes, and I think that's a mistake on their part. I do not believe that there's this black and white approach of zero tolerance approach to many of the issues that many groups take today. I think it's really important to recognize that issues of agriculture and energy and forestry and mineral extraction and all of these issues are very complex issues that cannot be dealt with in a black and white zero tolerance fashion, and that we need to work with all sectors of our society to find solutions that are win-win for both the environment and the economy.
Nuclear power. You may recognize this quote. It, I'm told, comes from a Greenpeace document that you wrote. You said, nuclear power plants are, next to nuclear warheads themselves, the most dangerous devices that man has ever created. Their construction and proliferation is the most irresponsible, in fact, the most criminal act ever to have taken place on the planet. Did you write those words?
Yes, and that reflects the thinking of the time. And in retrospect, it's clear to me that myself and all the rest of us made a very serious mistake in lumping nuclear energy in with nuclear weapons. And you can see it in those words that that's what I was doing. And that's what we were all doing. We were afraid we were going to be blown to smithereens along with the whole rest of civilization and planet Earth by an all-out nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union. The Cold War was a very scary time to be a young person. And many of us felt that everything nuclear was evil. Now, in retrospect, that would be as foolish as saying that nuclear medicine is evil. Nuclear medicine uses radioactive substances that are otherwise dangerous to treat and cure millions of people every year. And nuclear energy uses radioactive substances to produce energy that is emissions-free and greenhouse gas emissions-free to boot. And this, to me, is a positive use of nuclear technology. Goodness me, we got a lot of things right back then. We made one serious mistake out of all of that, but I think it's important that you correct the mistakes when you recognize them.
You talk about the generation of greenhouse gases. It does seem to be the issue that concerns most environmentalists at the moment: climate change, man-made global warming. Do you agree that that is the priority?
I don't agree that it is the priority. It has become this overarching issue as if carbon is the only thing that matters in the whole world. This sort of one issue approach to the universe is not a healthy thing. It is not good from an intellectual point of view or from the point of view of getting priorities set straight, because there are many reasons to reduce our fossil fuel consumption, not just greenhouse gas emissions. There's the fact that we're using 300 million years worth of fossil fuel production in a few centuries, so conservation is an important issue. There's the fact that the emissions from burning fossil fuels for energy and transportation is the worst thing we do to our public health in terms of breathing the emissions from those fuels. There is the fact that the geopolitical considerations, dependence on Russian gas in Europe, dependence on Middle East oil in North America, these are extremely important in terms of war and peace. And so there's a bunch of issues, aside from greenhouse gas emissions, that make it mandatory that we should reduce our fossil fuel consumption. And nuclear energy is one of the solutions to that problem.
Forgive me for interrupting you. Do you not feel a sense of urgency when it comes to cutting greenhouse gas emissions? The international community is working towards this massive UN conference in Copenhagen, the aim being to cut CO2 levels in the atmosphere. Do you not feel a sense of urgency?
It's not so much that I don't feel a sense of urgency, it's that I do not believe in that process. I'm afraid all that has happened there is it has pitted the industrial developed nations against the large developing nations like China and India and Indonesia and Brazil, who have a common front basically saying that they're not going to reduce their CO2 emissions so long as the industrial nations continue to increase theirs. There is no middle ground, and they will come out with some mealy-mouthed presentations out of the Copenhagen conference, but it's not going to make any difference in the same way that Kyoto has not to date made any difference. This is not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is with individual countries' policies turning to alternative technologies that do not produce greenhouse gas.
Can I just ask very briefly where you stand on this question of the man-made global warming? Do you believe that human activities are driving up global temperatures? We occasionally get emails into oneplanet@bbc.com, people suggesting that we're part of some grand hoax.
I don't see it as part of a grand hoax, but I do not believe that we know for certain that we are causing global warming or climate change. I believe the subject is so much more complex than we understand. And it is very clear, for example, that the last few years have seen a cooling of the global atmosphere, while at the same time fossil fuel emissions continue to go up. So it's not as simple as these computer models have predicted, and there's nobody who can explain why this is happening today. Now I hear some people who are advocates of human-caused global warming saying that there's going to be a 10 or 20-year period of cooling. Well, that doesn't sound like global warming to me. So I really think there's a lot of backpedaling going on now, a lot of confusion on the subject, a lot of new ideas coming out about solar cycles and ocean temperature cycles that are natural phenomena that affect climate change. I do not think we know the answer. I don't rule out human-caused climate change. I'm not a denier, but I am in that sense skeptical of people who believe that the science is settled, as Al Gore says. This is a matter of prediction, and we all know that the weather forecasters aren't much good 5 days out. How can they expect to tell us what the climate's going to be in 50 or 100 years? I just don't have faith in that. Anytime the climate changes, it's easy to blame it on human beings, but we don't really know that we are the cause.
This is not what I would expect to hear from any of your former colleagues, and you say you're not a denialist, but I wonder whether some of them might suspect it from what you've been telling us.
Well, they can suspect it all they want, but I'm not a denialist because I do not deny that human beings might have a role in the changing of the global climate. What with all of the forests we have cleared for agriculture, where we have altered about 30% of the land of this earth from what it was to food growing and tree growing plantations, and so that's bound to have had an impact. We are also increasing the CO2 concentration in the global atmosphere. That may well have an impact. It's just that we can't prove it and that we shouldn't be so sure of ourselves, because the other side of the coin is that carbon and the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is the most important nutrient for all of life on Earth. For the Environmental Protection Agency in the United States to now have ruled that carbon dioxide is a toxic pollutant is going way too far on the negative side. Carbon dioxide is also the most important food for all of life on this planet.
Patrick Moore, I hope you'll stay with us for a while. Thanks for talking to me. And thank you for listening. You can email your thoughts on this to oneplanet@bbc.com, or you can join the debate on our Facebook site. Now, please, just take a moment. Close your eyes and picture a village in India. Imagine a place in the northeast of the country near the border with Bangladesh. Imagine a rural,